23 minutes.
This is a Halls. It's not a breath mint, so we'll see. And just in case. How is everyone this morning? How is everyone's list? List. Everyone's list. Last week, Chuck said, if your job is important, have a list. And this week kind of is along the same lines as that, only not so focused on that particular aspect of it. I read this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turning pages. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul giving instructions to Timothy. And part of the idea that I want to take away that is a constant work in progress. Now, last week, Chuck said, you know, if it's important to be, then you should make a list of your job. Make a list of your tasks that you need to complete. You know, if a pilot has to go through a checklist before they take off because they have all those people involved, then you need to do that. Well, that is good, and that's important to make sure you get things done. But you can't stop with, well, this is all I have to do and that's it. I only stop here. What happens at your house if you only fulfill the exact same tasks every day? In 20 years, where's your roof going to be? Where's the plumbing going to be? Where's your yard going to be? At the same time, how do you go about taking care of those things? If you go to my house right now, the outside is, it's a mess. The backyard has grass that's, it's not really grass. Even though grass is a weed, it has weeds in it that are, 6 to 12 inches high. Because I got started with projects and there they sit. I can't really mow it because I got ditches back there in certain places where sprinkler line is partly dug up. And it all started, the backyard started a year ago. It's been a year since I replaced my fence. And I replaced my fence after I got the trees taken out. But the roots were still there, which made it hard to dig and various other things. So we have to work on it. But there's no pattern. There was no set plan. It was just kind of helter-skelter here and there, do this, do that. So consequently, my garage, I have a mess because things are just kind of scattered around. Because we started, downsizing our household, getting rid of things, cleaning stuff up. it's really messy to clean things up. If you're going to get rid of things, first you have to make a really big mess. If you're going to organize, first you have to make room to organize. It's a constant process. Chuck and Lawyer selling their house, which means he had to finish up projects. Does that mean there was nothing left to do on the house? No. There were still things to do, but they're done with that. They're moving on. And when they get to the new one, once they move in, is it going to stay that way? Things don't stay stationary. The same thing is true with our Christian lives. It is good to have a checklist and see, but part of that checklist needs to be improvement, growth, moving forward. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where I read this morning, it says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." He says, okay, he likens it to physical training, which ties in what I was saying. If you train physically and you get to be a certain shape or body style that you want, okay, hey, I made it. I have my six pack, or I have the thighs I want, or whatever, and you stop, what happens? You don't have it anymore. It'll last for a while, but if you do not keep up on the maintenance, if you don't keep up on the training, you lose that. It goes away. And sometimes you end up in worse condition than before you started out. You can be behind where you were originally. So he says, train yourself to be godly. And part of that is having nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. So as Christians, how does this apply? What are we told about this idea? If we go to something that Jesus did with his disciples in John chapter 13, verses 6 through 17. I just assume you turned this on. It's got the red light, so I guess that means it's going. You did that. Good. John 13, verses 6 through 17. The heading at the beginning of the chapter is, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Well, okay, there's some rigmarole that goes on there. We drop down to verse 6. He says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Now, prior to this, I think it's important to realize many of Jesus' disciples, if not all of them, were disciples of who prior to Jesus? Why is he called? He baptized people. So all of Jesus' disciples, I am confident that all of them had already received a baptism. The baptism of John. Now it lacked something that came after that. The baptism that was received in Acts chapter 2 did more than John's baptism. John's baptism was just a temporary forgiveness of sins. A repentance at the time. It didn't include the gift of the Holy Spirit. It didn't include the things that Jesus would allow through his death on the cross. But all these disciples had already been baptized. And I think that really ties into what Jesus says next. A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. And though not every one of you is because Judas was going to betray him. But the disciples had already been baptized. What was Jesus doing? Well, he was doing some washing up afterwards. You know, one of the things of the time that is popular now for several of us, they didn't wear shoes, per se. They wore sandals. For one thing, the material is a lot cheaper if you only have to make sandals than if you have to make a whole shoe that covers everything and the fastenings and all that. But they wore sandals. All right. They also didn't have miles of blacktop and concrete that they walked upon. And they didn't have the extent of irrigation that we have now where everybody can have fully green lawns, you know, that you mow and everything looks all nice, keeps the dust down. They lived in a dusty, dirty period. You know, mud, dirt, all that stuff, we get on you. So, you know, if you take a bath, you're mostly clean, but if you go out walking, which part of you is dirty? It's going to be your feet. You have to do maintenance. You can't let it go. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So there's two things going on here. One, he's cleaning them up. Clean. if you're going to walk through the muck, you're going to get dirty, and you need to make sure you clean yourself off. At the same time, you need to watch out for each other and do this for each other. Don't hold yourself above. Don't put yourself up here. I don't need to do that. Yeah, sure. You guys, you know, you want to do that, you go ahead and do that. But I don't need to do that. Because you are not better than Jesus. You cannot say, well, I'm above this. No, you need to take his example. He is the master and we are the messenger. As he says, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If we are truly being Christians, we need to follow his example and not put ourselves above that. If you go to the gym, do you want the trainer that looks like they're fit? Or do you want the trainer that looks like they could stand to lose 50 to 100 pounds? I mean, what is your mindset when you walk into the gym and the person that's working there is a heavy-set person? Is that the gym that you think, yeah, this is where I want to be? We need to keep that in mind. As Christians, are we going to convince people, hey, I know what you want to do. I know the way that you should go if we look like we don't belong there. If we don't look like we fit in to this place. So we need to do the maintenance. We need to keep up on our Christian attitude in life. All right, going back to 1 Timothy, there in the 4th chapter, verse 16, it says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your life and doctrine closely. It ties into what he had just said. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. And if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, in verses 1 and 2, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Then he gives some examples. What is the worst thing that can happen to you when you set out to do a project? If you want to get that project done, you have all day to do the project. You set out to do it. You go to clean up the garage. You go to do yard work. And you get distracted by another project. It's not a real project that you have to get done. But you know, hey, look at this. I go out to clean the garage and I do this in the garage. What? That doesn't need to be done right now. That's not going to get the garage clean. That's just going to create more mess. I go to clean the garage and I find an old computer, so I take the whole thing apart so I can destroy the hard drive. That's not necessary at the time. That can be done some other time. I start to sort out all the nuts and bolts. No, the nuts and bolts should go in a pile for now and do the whole big picture. Too often we can get sidelined with the wrong task. We can get sidelined with the wrong thing because, hey, this looks good. You go online to do some research and next thing you know you're watching YouTube videos about cats. I'm not. I can't. Jody is. I mean, whoo, look at that. Wee, cats. Cute. Wee, funny. That happens to us. We get distracted. We don't stick with it because something else comes along and we're not paying attention. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10. Through 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. The Pharisees and the Sadducees got somehow turned left when they should have turned right or gone straight. They got their directions confused because they did not stay focused on what God wanted. This morning at the table, You know, my dad brought up the point about the Pharisees. What happened to them? They got sidelined with something they shouldn't have. They fell in love with money. Somewhere along the way, they got things confused. And it's not just there, but several places in the New Testament, Jesus condemns them for that. What was their problem with their parents? Well, they didn't want to take care of them. It was going to be too expensive. So they found tax havens. They found ways to hide their money away where they could still get at it, but they could say, oh, you know what? Oh, I'd really like to take care of my dad, but we just don't have the resources available. Because I dedicated this to God in the future. And I can't know personal lifestyle. They went after the wrong thing. The same thing is happening here. They're looking at who Jesus is with them. What are you doing? Why is your master with these? He's supposed to be this great teacher. And look, he's associating with these horrible people. Jesus said, go back and learn what God wants. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Don't follow after old wives' tales. Don't go after false teachings from people who have seared their conscience. Don't get distracted on what it is you're training for. Don't get distracted from your project. I have to regulate myself. I should take Chuck's lesson more practically, not just for my Christian life, but for my physical life. If I have a project, it really would be good if I made a list and prioritized, okay, this needs to be done. After I do this, then I need to do this. Because otherwise, I start here, and then I'm over here, and then I'm over here, then I go to the store and buy this stuff, then I come back. What's the oldest project you have? Yesterday, we were doing something, kind of shooting the breeze while we were waiting on something else with Mike, and Mike was kind enough yesterday to give me a ride to what we were doing. And he brought his truck, and I looked in the back of his truck, and I said, huh. So are those broken shingles back there? Those about, what, a year old? I don't know. When did we... Yeah, it's been almost an entire year since we roofed Ben's house. And it doesn't matter that he hasn't swept it out. But he hadn't swept out the back of his truck since then. So he still had that there. You know, if you go to my house and you see my TV stand, that is an unfinished project. There are no doors on that TV stand. Jody wishes 8 years ago I would have finished that project. Or maybe 10. I'm not even sure. I don't even know how long I've been in this house. And I built that when I was in my previous house. And I know I've been in this house like 8, 9 years. I'm not really sure. Stay focused. Stay focused. Or you're going to come a year later and not have a gate in your fence to the park. And it's going to be harder because things have changed. Things won't be ready to continue. You have to go back and work harder. You're going to get sidetracked and be on the wrong path. Your house will not be in order if you keep yourself properly trained. Matthew 15, verse 27. Oh, I did that to myself again. Matthew 14. I saw the 15 on the page and I wrote that down. But it's Matthew 14, verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Peter was focused. Peter was looking at Christ and following the goal. He was growing. We can see the growth in Peter. We can see he's following Jesus' doctrine, and look what he can do. He can walk on water. Peter walked on water. Everyone who's walking on water, raise your hand. Peter did something that, as far as I know, only Christ did. That's it. We have, in the Old Testament, people who divided the water and walked through on dry ground, or, you know, walked through on riverbeds while the water was piled up somewhere. Peter walked on water. But then he saw the wind. He was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat. The wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Truly he is the Son of God. But if we lose focus of that, what happens? If we get sidetracked and we don't stick to our plan, we don't stick to the proper development, we're going to be in the same boat as Peter. Look, he was doing so good, and then... Yeah, it's a funny joke that people tell often. All they say is, "Squirrel!" And most people know what they mean by that. Because in the movie Up, it's a movie, silly things go on, but there's these dogs who are supposed to be specially trained. And they're focused. Their human master's trained them, and he sends them out on jobs, and they're really focused, except when they see a squirrel, and then what happens? Squirrel! And then they're crashing and falling down. They're chasing somebody. They're almost caught them, and then they see a squirrel, and they fall down. The same thing here with Peter and us. We need to work on the proper goal. We need to train ourselves in the proper methods, in the proper desires, and follow through on that, or we're going to be like Peter, like the Pharisees, chasing after the wrong things. The last thing we need to make sure is in verse 15 again, "Be diligent in these matters, give yourselves wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress." May see your progress. We are supposed to be going forward. Things should not be stationary. You shouldn't just maintain. Very few people maintain their homes. Most people do improvements. You know, Bob and Carrie moved into his mom's house, and one of the things they did, they changed out the windows and doors. They improved upon it. They made it better. It's more energy efficient. Looks nicer. If you go to my house and you look up Google Maps, the satellite view, the front yard has, I don't know if you can go back and see the archive things, but the front yard, the actual landscape and the way it looks, over the years that we've been there, has changed dramatically. Plants have been torn out multiple times. Not the same plants, but hey, we didn't... Oh, you know what? That's not us. That's not what we like. Rip out stuff, put other things in. Rip out stuff, put other things in. Guess what we're doing right now? Same thing. Partly because of the drought, partly understanding the way that we are. I don't like... to go do yard work. I don't mind doing, I actually like doing yard work, the trimming and all that, but I don't like to get started on it. So that means it can be 2 months before I go out there. Well, what happens to plants in 2 months when it's springtime? Or during the summer? You know, things just, or they die, they need water, they need care, they need maintenance. So, you know, we're supposed to conserve water. Well, we're working on trying to set up this easy maintenance, water conservation, landscape at our house so that it is improved and we don't look like it's a disaster. We're not the one on the block, on the street, that when people drive by they go, "Man, that's why our houses are worth $10,000 less this month." That's me. That everyone may see your progress. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Multiple times the impression is given to us, we are not stagnant. We are not supposed to maintain a certain level. Paul was telling Timothy, don't maintain. Everyone may see your project. Be diligent. Give yourself wholly to them. Persevere in them. Grow up. Increase. Become better. Do more. 2 Peter chapter 3. The end of this book, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the errors of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. In all these places, this idea of growth is also protection. As we make improvements in our lives, as we make improvements in our Christianity, it should be like the improvements that we make in other things. You know, if you do the physical training and you get your body, you know, how you want it and everything, is that just it? You look good? You also can do more. You know, if you get yourself in shape, if you train yourself, you can ride your bike for miles and miles. You can go on hikes. You can lift more. You can do more activity. You increase your boundaries. You allow yourself to do more. The same thing when we work on our houses, when we improve them, when we do this, we increase the value. We increase the functionality. If you make an improvement, it's an improvement. It's growth. It's forward. It makes it better, more sustainable, longer lasting. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You need to take that opportunity. Focus your Christian life. Make sure you're on point and doing what you need to grow, to fulfill, to become better. We won't stop that growth process until the end. When all things are revealed and we get to heaven, we'll have reached maturity. We'll have reached the fulfillment. But until then, we have to continue working on it. We have to persevere and follow through and keep on the correct path and not get sidelined by these other things as we go and lose sight of God and fall short of the goal. This morning, if you need the help that the disciples can give, if you need your feet washed, if you need to be taken by the hand a little bit to lead you on the correct path and give you some guidance, the group is here to do that. If you have not yet accepted that, then you can do that this morning and start on that path, start on the improvement by coming forward and confessing your sins and being baptized. The group is here to do that also. Whatever your needs are, you can do that. Come forward as we stand and sing our closing song. 358.